Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and we are live. The studio cam is on, so come on over to the chat room at firstamendmentradio.com or .net. Go there, click on the chat button, join the conversation. Well, today we're looking at news items, as usual, just to impose our Christian worldview on what's going on out there. A great struggle, a spiritual battle really going on and playing out there, one for liberty. And you have the rulers of darkness trying to impose totalitarian control on all the people of the entire earth. And the people of the West are finally getting fed up. Yeah, we suffer evils while evils are sufferable. and there's only so much we can take. So there's a great big convoy that's locked up Ottawa, Canada right now. And, well, it's a good thing, and it's not a good thing. I mean, it's a bad thing that it has to happen, but it's a good thing that it is happening, that the Canadians are finally getting fed up with their communist leader over there that's trying to impose the Antichrist, the will of the Antichrist on that entire nation, and really trying to impose the will of the Antichrist, his shadow government, on the entire world. This is how they gain control. This is how they gain power, through their machinations, their intrigue, which they have been dabbling in for, 1500, 1600 years, ever since the rise of the Antichrist, about the 5th or 6th century. Yeah. And he had a good run there for about 1260 years in Western Europe until he received that wound by the sword. But he did live, and now that wound has been healed completely, and he's learned to work in the shadows under several layers of culpable deniability, so that if you point out and say who the Antichrist is, people scoff at you. Because everything they've learned in their secular education, in their church education, everything they've learned causes them to scoff, makes it unbelievable to them, because the Antichrist and his shadow government, their counter-reformation schemes have worked very well over the last 500 years to put people off of identifying the biblical and historical Antichrist, the head of the father of the greatest apostasy the world has ever seen, and today more than 2 billion strong. And I ask you to consider, is there a greater apostasy out there? Is there one that perhaps, is there an apostate church out there, perhaps, that is 3 billion strong? Well, and you would say, obviously not. But yet, they scoff when you point it out and say, the head of that great apostasy, he is that man of sin. And it's all written about. It was given to Paul, and he wrote it down in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 about the falling away, the great falling away that would come first before the return of Christ. And it has come, and it has existed, and it has only grown stronger and greater as it is today. Yeah. Don't be looking for devotion or true faith in the great apostasy, because they prefer anything to true faith and true belief in Jesus Christ. That's what they prefer. So it doesn't matter what they do, how many souls they destroy, anything but true Bible-believing Christianity that looks only to the Word of God and the Son of God for their salvation, and bypasses that great apostasy and all of its magic, or should I say, false miracles. Yeah. Anyway, Lou Rockwell here says, we are winning the battle against COVID tyranny. Well, we'll see how that works out. It seems like those that are in charge of this tyranny that is going on, it doesn't matter. You could tell the truth. You could broadcast it to the world. And since they have, it seems like, total control over the minds of at least half the population of the earth, that they are under great delusion, as the scripture said it would be in the days that we are living, the days leading up to the return of Jesus for his millennial reign. So we can't be surprised. But God said that he would have them in derision, though they counseled together. And you can see that they've counseled together. Otherwise, how would they be doing this lockstep over the whole world? Yeah. Let's see. A Jesuit fiend in the chat room says, the trucker strike card from the Jesuit card Illuminati game. Yes, how could they have known in the 90s, right? These are no victories, just the Jesuits leading the gullible down the rabbit hole. And, you know, that's what I was saying, is that, and thinking about that too, that this is going to cause further disruption in the supply chain and further break things down. Yeah. So we'll see. We will see how this plays out. How could they have known? I've heard of this Illuminati card game and the trucker strike cards. I didn't know about that one. So don't run out and buy the cards or anything, please. Yeah, we have the Word of God. So it says, how could they have known in the 90s, right? There are no victories. Just the Jesuits leading the gullible down the rabbit hole. Well, thank you for that. Jesuit fiend. Is it fiend? You're a Jesuit fiend? Or are you a fiend to the Jesuits? Yeah, he says, I have the entire collection scanned. Yeah, I've seen some of those cards, but I've never looked at the whole thing and seen that. But yeah, that's very telling to see the trucker strike card. I guess I'm going to have to look that up to see if I can find a trucker strike card. So it's going to cause, and plus now they're organizing one for the U.S. as if we're not enough, having enough of supply shortage and supply disruption. Just think what now in a trucker strike in America that they say is going to be bigger than the one in Canada is going to do. Yeah, well, we'll see what comes out of it. Cause, you know, I feel like I'm just an observer here, watching the whole of the prophecy play out, day by day. Yeah. But it is something to behold. And, you know, I'm all for their sentiments. I'm all for, going against these tyrannical mandates, this intrusion into bodily autonomy, because if the Antichrist gets that, then we have no liberty left. If our bodily autonomy is gone, your guns don't mean a thing if they can jab you and take everything you have away. So now the question is, as far as the bringing on the mark of the beast and their plan by 2030, well, they've taken a few giant steps toward that goal in the last 2 years, and I don't see that anything's going to stop that. I think maybe we can slow it down. Maybe we can push it off to 2040. See, I'm all for that, because the further we can push it off, the better. But and whether it'll be over the whole earth, whether it'll be in this continent, whether it'll be in America, I don't know yet. Whether they will be forcing us as Americans or the Canadians, the North Americans, to receive the mark and worship the beast in order to buy or sell or trade. How far will it go here? How far? Well, it's already going there in other countries. I mean, they have practically the Antichrist has total control, perhaps in China. But that's, China's a big place with a lot of people. And, I can't see things running smoothly, even in China, until Christ comes. Cause it, the word is, you know, if you believe the word, that there are more Christians in China than there are in America simply because of the vast amount of people there. So there is an underground church in China. Of course, they're not attending the Catholic Church that's accepted and official. And of course, the Catholic Church is going to go along, but you're going to have rebellious Catholics that are going to rebel even against the Pope and his shadow government. We have those all over the place. Now all they need to do is give up all the idolatry and the false miracles of the Catholic Church. The first one being transubstantiation. That's a false miracle. It's a lie. It's a lying wonder. You know, it's part of their cup of abominations. Yeah. So the scripture says, come out of her, my people. So God's calling his people out of that. So anyway, don't need that trucker strike card, Illuminati card. Maybe I have to put Illuminati in there. Illuminati card. Let's see if we can find that. Let's see. Trucker strike card. I don't see anything with a truck on it. This is Center for Weird Studies. I guess maybe it's this one. Truckers Local 101 on strike. Long haul strike. Although the CFL-AIO is corporate, it can call in strike against other corporations. It gets a plus 10. it may be nothing but a coincidence. I don't know. Truckers Local on strike. It's not really it's not the same thing, but it is something to wonder about. I guess that's what we're looking at there, the trucker strike card. But this is not a local or a truckers association strike. This is an independent. The truckers are themselves independently on strike, even against their leadership. They're on strike. So yeah, we'll see. Link in the chat room. Bottle. Yeah, that's the one I found already. Okay. So anyway, so you can see that card there. That's a strange, perhaps coincidence, perhaps not. I mean, life is big. It's vast. There's so much going on that there are coincidences, perhaps all over the place. Perhaps not. I don't know. It's not like, I don't believe that the Jesuits knew and they organized a strike. Right now, the Jesuit up there in, Castro's son, what's his name, is trying to blame the Russians or people in his organized government-controlled, Ministry of Truth, are trying to tell people that Russia organized the strike. That's funny. Ha-ha. We'll see about that. Okay, let's see. What else have we got? Oops, not that page there. Not that page. We are winning the battle against COVID, yeah, tyranny. So we're winning the battle against tyranny. And the narrative is falling apart. And I believe that as people start dying and as the truth, because the truth does have a way of coming out and waking people up, whether they'll turn to Christ or not, we don't know that perhaps some will turn to Christ, but most will not, even when they see the truth about what's going on in the world. A lot of people won't move all the way. It's like I was checking out True News the other day, and he's still, trying to figure out, he's still waiting for the Antichrist to show up in the last 7 years or something, because he can't identify the true Antichrist, the biblical and historical Antichrist. So they're still, you know, splashing around out in the ocean there, looking for direction. Even though they have a lot of truth and they, you know, report the news, but, not the same, it's the same news that everyone else, in that side of the media is reporting. So, nothing special going on there, just a lot of error as far as eschatology is concerned and their ignorance about, you know, identifying the Antichrist, the biblical and historical Antichrist. So there seems to be a lot of ignorance out there still. So we'll just keep whittling away here with nobody paying attention to us. Let's see. We have, say hello to everybody in the chat room there. Thanks for showing up, and all of you that are just listening on the, to the broadcast or while you're working or whatever. Good to have you here this morning. Let's see what else we have on our, yeah, that's another one. My inbox here. Go to our, Lou Rockwell, and see what these headlines are. Yeah, rolling over, dear doctor, ever changing the goal. Washington and London deafened. I don't know what these are. These headlines don't really say a whole lot to me. Rising rents and cheap money flowing, so apartment prices are soaring. And, yes, we are moving into hyperinflation. And, you know, everything that's going on, though it may be, though, Trudeau, you know, the son of Castro over there, may be shaking in his boots, because of the truckers and going into hiding. And then he said, I tested negative. I've got COVID again. And I just thought, isn't negative? Doesn't that mean you didn't test positive? And then a few days later, he reported, oh, I bet I tested positive. And he went into hiding or quarantine. And so I've been jabbed. He says, go out and get the jab because I tested positive. Oh, geez. I mean, is this guy brain dead or what? You know, if he tested positive and he's got three jabs and now he's telling me to go out and get the jab, what, so I can test positive too? I mean, aren't these people brain dead? Is this guy so delusional that he can't hear what's coming out of his mouth and decipher the truth of what he's saying? Well, the people listening to him going, what? That doesn't make any sense. What are you, nuts? Well, obviously the guy is crazy because he's done something three times and it didn't help him to not get test positive for a COVID virus that we're all supposed to be afraid of. And then he says, go get the jab. So we're supposed to run out and do the same thing? I don't know. So I'm probably going to get kicked off of YouTube for questioning the narrative, you know, but it's insane. I don't get it. How do these people say these things and not see what they're saying? Can't they hear what's coming out of their own mouth? Don't they understand? Are they so delusional that they can't see what's plainly going on and they expect people to see their delusion the same way, dude? I don't know. Somebody help me. Tell me what's going on here with this guy, Trudeau. Yeah. Well, what's going on with him when he can say that? And then he says, go out and get the jab because, you know, I tested negative. And then he says, oh, I bet positive. I don't know what he meant. I think he was so scared he didn't know what he was saying. And perhaps the pretender in chief over there in Washington, D.C. says, oh no, they're coming to Washington, D.C. and my little chain link fence I put up here with the razor wire isn't going to stop those trucks from locking down the city. Cause they're not there to cause, you know, to riot or anything. Although, yeah. I mean, I guess anything could happen. So we'll keep our eye on the situation there. Rising rents and cheap money flowing, so apartment prices are soaring. And see, this is all just part of the upheaval, because this is really what the Antichrist wants in his shadow government. Whether the people participating and doing the will of the Antichrist know what their job is, or know the end, or know the end in view. There are a few that do. I believe that Gavin Newsom in California, I believe he knows, because he was trained. He is a Jesuit. That's public knowledge. You can go to his Wikipedia page and find out where he got educated. Yes. And then you see him playing this whole thing out and you go, oh yeah. Yeah, that's a real thing, man. He's absolutely doing what the Antichrist wants done, because he was trained, and he is part of the Antichrist army that is governing the world in the shadows. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. So, like I said, you can check out his Wikipedia page. It's public, information. Nothing hidden there, except most people are so delusional. They say, oh no, it's something, a new variant. Oh no, better go do what didn't work before. And that way I'll be safe. Yeah, I don't get it. Let's see. School officials in Virginia threaten to suspend students who don't wear masks, even though mandates have all been abolished. Yeah, it just goes on and on and on. And I heard on the news leading up to the show that they're teaching students to, you know, indoctrinating them in the tenets of Black Lives Matter, which is another Marxist organization, Marxism is another Antichrist operation. He has a lot of operations out there going on, but they all lead to the same thing. And that is totalitarian, total totalitarian control of the whole earth. Yeah. That's what it leads to. Okay. Oh, I'm going into a break. So, you're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is. Speculation, not truth. This book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon. The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app.
for all of your mobile devices. Streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Welcome back. You're listening to Prophecy Reality. This is a live edition. We're live at First Amendment Radio. Go there, click on the chat room. Studio cam is on, and you can see my face and any exhibits I might put on the screen during this broadcast, or just listen live. We try to make it good radio, too, here at firstamendmentradio.com. Anyway, I have this article here. It says, Commie Pope... This is from the Gateway Pundit. Commie Pope says taxation is important tool for wealth redistribution. Yeah. That's why we have a progressive income tax. As a matter of fact, that's one of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto that they've implemented in America. Yeah. So we're well on the road to Antichrist ideals here. And yes, the Commie Pope, Bergoglio, Pope Francis, during his homily, Red Francis told his flock that sharing ownership is not communist, but is pure Christianity. Yeah. When God said there in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal, he wasn't inferring property rights. I mean, you know, you can't steal what already belongs to you, can you? Yeah. See, this guy is just, communism is at its root is Catholicism. It's how they can gain total control over the whole world for the hierarchy. You know, the hierarchy. They rule over the laity. That's what they do. The Nicolaitans, which actually means to rule over the laity. That's what Jesus said he hated. So the present Antichrist, the man who sits on the seat, the throne of the Antichrist presently, is Bergoglio, or Pope Francis, as he's renamed himself. And he thinks that communism is a great idea, and that everyone should participate in tax inquisitions, because it's an important tool to redistribute your wealth. Now, let's turn that around. I think we ought to send the Pope a 1040 form. And I think that that the papacy and the Antichrist and his little government over there, his little nation in the Vatican, I think they ought to list all the wealth that they have all worldwide. And since it belongs to the people that they took it from, the church, supposedly, and whatever else, wherever else they stole it from, it should all be redistributed. Yeah, that's where the redistribution needs to take place. The wealth of the Vatican is immense. Probably the richest, it's richer. All the nations are in debt to her. I mean, who do you think owns the money power? Did you read your Bible? All you evangelical rapturists out there? Did you read about how at the end of time, that the Antichrist is going to control all the money powers of the world, so much so that he's going to require everyone to have a mark to buy or sell or trade. So he must have total control of the money power. And guess what? Unbeknownst to you and most of the world, he does. They do. Him and his shadow government. Yeah, they own the money powers. And everything they're doing right now is to centralize that power so that everybody has to participate in one monetary system. Yes, one monetary system to rule them all. That's what he's after. And so taxation, we have to keep taxation. We can print money out of thin air, but, well, you know, we can create fiat money till the world ends, but it doesn't matter that they can create, that they can just print all the money they want or create all the money in digits that they want out of thin air. It doesn't matter that they don't need you to fill out an inquisition form so you can pay your fair share every year because they don't need your money. They can steal your wealth without you having to fill out a form at all. And they do. Yeah, that's what inflation is all about. You know, because they just print money and it devalues all the money out there. So they're robbing your money while it's in your pocket or in your bank account, while the digits are sitting there and you think, and all these billionaires out there. See, the billionaires, they don't care. They go along because they have so much money that it doesn't matter to them how high the price of food goes or, you know, how much a gallon of gas costs. They don't care. It's not hard for them. They got billions. They got so much money that there's nothing to spend it on. There's not enough stuff for them to buy with their billions now. That's how much money they have. So that's the state of the world and my commentary on Inquisition forms. And that's, the Pope loves it. The Antichrist loves it. His shadow government loves it. All totalitarians love it because they want to control your mind. And if they can't control your mind, then they will shut off your bank account. You know, they'll stop your digits and you'll go and log in your account and you'll see zeros there, or your login won't work or whatever. You try to recover your account, it won't work. Why? Because you're not worshiping the Antichrist. You're not worshiping whoever he puts in charge. You're not worshiping the beast that he has put over your locality. Yeah, you're not worshiping. You're not being obedient. You know, you heard what Justin Trudeau up there, the communist Justin Trudeau, said about them truckers, fringe minority that don't think right. Yeah, they have unpopular views. Well, I think he's the one with the unpopular view. You can see how these people think, though. The commie pope, at least the gateway pundit has it correct there, but they need to put up there the Antichrist. Yeah. The leader of the greatest apostasy the world has ever seen, over 2 billion strong. Yes. The very fount of communism, Marxism, and all revolutions in the earth, all woke revolutions, all this nonsense that's going on, it all comes from him and his shadow government. They've taken over the universities. They've taken over public education. They've controlled the seminaries so that even Protestants believe in their counter-reformation eschatology. They've been at work for, you know, 500 years. Working their schemes. And ever since the Pope, you know, the papacy lost its place, it received that deadly wound by the sword. And it seemed like it lost all its power. And a lot of people still believe that that's the position of it. No, but I'll tell you, the head wound has been healed. As the scripture said, the head wound would be healed. And now they are back into total control of, as total control as they've ever had. I mean, cause see, they're not God. The Antichrist is not God. He doesn't have magical, miraculous, supernatural power. They're just a bunch of men, who've been running their schemes and gaining their control and garnering their power for centuries. And that's how they exercise. But God will have them in derision, and they can't control everything because they are mere mortals. They have no supernatural power. Satan is powerless. You know, what? This worm? This is the one? I mean, you know what the scripture says about it? People will marvel that this being controlled the world through his intrigue, through his deception, his deceit, and he's a worm, you know? people will marvel when they see the truth. And even this man here will marvel, the present man who sits in the seat of the man of sin, the Antichrist. That's the guy there. His master is Satan. So he told his flock, his 2 billion strong flock, sharing ownership is not communism, but is pure Christianity. It's pure, see? He tries to make it sound so good. It sounds really good, doesn't it? It's pure Christianity. Jesus, he railed against socialism, communism, and even the Proverbs. The wise man who wrote the Proverbs railed against us. He said, if the wicked say, let us all have one purse, he says, don't participate in it. Yeah, because that's what socialism... So, but see, it's the men who control the pure. See, that's the papacy, and that's his shadow government. They want us all to have pure... one person practice pure, their variation of pure Christianity. It sounds so good, but see, they control the purse. They are rich beyond their wildest dreams, and they're looked on as benefactors, but they're pretend benefactors. Your name and where are you calling from? Need to repent there, dude. You know, like what I'm saying, whoever you are. Yeah, I mean, it's just like we can go to, I was talking to my grandson about this last night. I pointed out to him that if we go back to Proverbs here, chapter 1, it talks about socialism, communism. See? Let's see, here it is. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Right? Let us lurk privily. We can rob people privately. They don't even have to know we're robbing them. Mm-hmm. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Yeah, that's socialism. That's what it is. You're just going to take a little bit of your hard-earned wages. You know, you pay 15%. Well, let's start at 1%, but you know, they're never satisfied. They always want more. They got it up to 15% now that you have to kick in, and 15% that your employer who's working through their employment system has to kick in. So they're collecting 30% of what you make with every paycheck, and they get the money. See? Cast in your lot with us. Let us all have one purse. Here's what the scripture says. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. And in America, socialism is voluntary. You don't have to participate. You know, you can walk away from the number and you can leave it all behind. There's no law that requires anyone to participate. Though if you've signed the contract knowingly, I guess maybe, you know, they won't even let you go. They'll say, well, we can't rescind your number. And you're right. You don't have a number that you can rescind because it never was your number. It's their number. So the only thing you can do is refrain your foot from their path. I mean, I did that, you know, 20 years, 30 years ago, whatever it's been. I've refrained my foot from that path. And I've kept my foot refrained from that path. And here I am, you know, so it's 2022. Believe it or not, next year I'm going to hit my 3 score and 10. Yeah. Can you believe that? It's hard for me to believe that. It's come so fast. Yeah. And I'm not collecting a thing from them. I'm not begging a thing from them. I don't care about Medicare and Medi-Cal and health plans. Health plans. My health plan is to eat healthy and live a good life, right? And supplement and do and use knowledge to keep my health up. I don't need their health plan. I already have one. Thank you. But no thank you. I'm refraining my foot from their path. That's what I'm doing. Sorry, Bergoglio, present Antichrist, you know, who says, taxation is an important tool for wealth redistribution. In other words, he wants to steal what you work hard for so he can redistribute it. They get to keep most of it, and they give, you know, they pretend to be benefactors. They're pretend benefactors. And Jesus talked about that. That was in Luke. Oh, where was that? Luke somewhere. I should memorize that one. You see, it's easy to remember Proverbs 1, but Luke. Oh, here it is right here. Luke. Oh, that's Proverbs. Okay, Luke somewhere. Yeah, it probably, if I look up benefactor, I'll find it. What do you think? I'll find that where Jesus talks about communism and socialism too. So see, Jesus is, you know, he's right in line because, you know, God is the author of the entire scripture. So whatever's written in, the Proverbs, you know that Jesus knew about it, right? And if the Proverbs is against socialism, well, then Jesus would be against it too. He said, you know how the rulers of the Gentiles, the other nations, he was speaking about the kingdom of God. He says that they're called benefactors. Yeah. And they're called benefactors because they're not really benefactors. They don't distribute their own wealth. You've all heard this from me before. You know about it, what Jesus said. But they redistribute the wealth of others. And that's why, as the Antichrist, the man who sits in the seat of the Antichrist, says taxation is an important tool for wealth redistribution. Yeah. And they and their shadow government get to get rich, because when you got billions and millions of dollars that you're overseeing, that really makes you a very, very important man. And you must be paid lots and lots of money because you're so important redistributing, being called a benefactor, but not really a benefactor. So it's all deception. Yeah. Let's see. Stephen says, I'm going on 2 years. Amen. Oh, Luke 22:25. Thank you for that. It's hard to, yeah, Luke 22:25. It's hard to remember everything. I should have that one memorized, though. 22:25. Thank you for that. And let's see. There it is. I even got it highlighted. See, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise lordship authority upon them are called. They're called benefactors. They're not benefactors. They're called benefactors. Reminds me of Teddy Kennedy. Oh, he was such a great man. He was so kind and generous with other people's money. He was called a benefactor, right? I remember because he died, and that was part of his eulogy, you know, part of the eulogy that he only cared so much about the poor. He was so generous with other people's money. That's right. And he got rich, and his friends got rich while they Scrooge McDuck swam in the vault full of gold, you know. But Jesus said to his disciples, ye shall not be so. Refrain your foot from their path. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. Yeah, they call them public servants. Public servants, they're serving themselves by getting rich and being called benefactors. So, yeah, there it is. Bergoglio in the news, the present Antichrist sitting on the seat, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, the most holy Father on earth. Yes, the great God on earth. That's him. There you have that. Let's see. Well, we talked about the convoy to D.C. Our hour's mostly up here. Let's see what else we got in the chat room, if anybody saying anything. See, mystery caller strikes again. Yep, sure does. I don't know who that person is, but I pray for their soul, you know, and I hope they keep listening, because they must be listening, and just going to calling this number, got it, probably have it on a schedule somewhere. Call this number at this time. They never listen. They just have it on their schedule to call this number and harass me. That could be, I don't know, you know. Yeah. You know, if that's the worst thing that happens to me all week, then I am a blessed and very fortunate man. Yeah. Let's see, some interesting cards. Oh, yeah. Okay, well, nothing in the chat room. But anyway, good to see you all here. In our next hour, I put down for a topic something about the Battle of Armageddon. So we're going to talk about the Battle of Armageddon and talk about some of the timing factors and the chronology in the Revelation. You know, because it's hard to sort all these things out and keep it all straight in your mind. And then people have the mistaken idea that everything in the Revelation has to be chronological. Well, it isn't. The only thing that's chronological are the seals, the trumpets, and the vials. Those are the chronological happenings. Everything else is supplemental. And things that go before and after, say, things that happen before and after, say, the vials, are written before and after the vials, the chronology of the vials being let loose is given to us. So all of these supplemental chapters that help us to fill in the blanks and the characters and the who's doing what and the circumstance of what's going on and the relationships of the parties involved, during these chronologies. And that's what we get in these supplemental chapters. So you might read something that before the vials are being poured out that pertains to when the vials are being poured out, or something after the vials are poured out, say, because that pertains to something that happened way before that. Yeah. So we'll talk about some of those things and how we understand that, and that it does make it difficult to nail down, but I think that it's done that way on purpose, and God has his reasoning for doing that, and I think I have somewhat of an understanding of that, though I'm not sure I could articulate, but I'm sure that when we see him, and we will know all things, even as we are known, that we'll understand completely. Yeah. We'll understand completely why God did what he did and why his word is written the way it's written. But one thing I know for sure is that we can know enough of his word, and that prophecy that was written, we can plainly see fulfilled in history after it was written, so that we understand that this verifies God's word for us enough that we can believe it, and that we can also believe all the promises of God. Because if God wrote prophecy or history in advance, and we got to watch that history, that prophecy play out in history, and we go, that's true. So now I know that whatever else God wrote is true, and that especially all the promises that God has written that belong to the elect, all of the gospel promises, all the promises of eternity and the resurrection are as sure as his prophecy is sure, at least the parts we know that have already been fulfilled. Even though we don't really understand why or how the ones that haven't been fulfilled will be fulfilled in the future. Anyway, I'm going into a break here, so thank you all for showing up. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition, and we will be back after some messages and a news break.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And in this segment, we're going to talk about some prophecy. And the question was, when will Armageddon begin? Well, what a question. When will Armageddon begin? And this comes from Revelation 16:16. And we're in the middle of the vials being poured out here, or at the end of the vials being poured out. Speaking of chronologies, this is the last of the chronologies of the Revelation. We have chapters 6 through 19, which we should call, if we're going to call it anything, that would be the church era. That would be from the end of the first century to the return or the end of the sixth millennia or the beginning of the millennial reign of Christ. That's the era covered there in chapter 6 through the end of chapter 19. And then, of course, chapter 20 opens with the millennial reign of Christ. So there, and then there are three chronologies that happen in that era, and they begin with the seals, the opening of the seals and the four horsemen of the apocalypse, representing the Imperial Roman Empire under the Caesars and Augustuses and all of the during the pagan era of Rome. And then when that's done, about the fifth century, the four horsemen are gone away, but the chronologies continue and the seals continue, and then you move into the trumpets, and then finally the vials. And the sixth vial, I believe, was opened, or the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now, who are the kings of the east? Well, we're just going to have to say that they're the kings of the east for now. But the way is prepared for them. And then continuing with the sixth vial, another effect of the sixth vial is that I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out. So these spirits are like frogs. They come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And we recognize the dragon as pagan worship, hedonism, all of those things that pertain to the flesh, basically. And then out of the mouth of the beast, because if you don't follow the law of God, if the law of God, speaking of the higher power, I believe we're speaking about Romans 13 sometime in the last couple weeks, and the highest power of all, which is God. But if you don't accept God as your higher power, then guess what becomes your higher power is the state. There's no higher lawgiver than the state. which is what the beast represents. So you have these spirits like frogs that come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And the false prophet, as I have determined and I believe is correct, is another name for the Antichrist, the man of sin, because he is the antithesis of the true prophet. And as much as the Antichrist represents that which a false Christ, so the false prophet represents the same personage, the false prophet, the one who takes the place of the true prophet. It seems very simple to me. It's certainly not the second beast of Revelation chapter 13, because the false prophet is not even mentioned in that chapter. That's a total assumption, a leap in the illogic, as far as I'm concerned, and totally unsupportable. I don't care if the best expositors of the past believed it or not. It does not work. And perhaps if they had lived a couple extra hundred years to be where we are today, they would come to the same conclusions. Anyway, continuing, for they are spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world. So not just the kings of the earth, but the whole world, to gather them. Now this is the purpose, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And what is that battle, that great day of God Almighty? Well, it's right after that we have some red letters here in the Revelation. So must be that Jesus is speaking this, because he says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." So we are living in this three frogs era. The way of the kings of the east is, you know, is made. It's open. We're waiting for that. It's prepared. Okay. And these frog-like spirits have gone out into the kings of the earth. And just take a look. We were talking about it in the first hour. You know, we have a pretender in chief here. You have the communist up there in Canada. You have these rulers all over the earth walking in lockstep. Okay. And so these spirits of devils like frogs are going to all forth unto the kings of the earth. Obvious today, isn't it? And of the whole world, to gather them to that battle. So this is all preparation for that battle, regardless of what happens between now and then, regardless of their, you know, gaining the totalitarian control of the monetary system and all of the things that are happening in the interim. This is for that day. Because on that day, we, the elect of God, we won't be worried about the mark of the beast. All of our worries will be over when that day comes, because we will be resurrected. So Jesus says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." So are you watching? I'm watching. Keeping my garments. Yeah. I don't want to be naked and ashamed, okay? And moving on, it says, "And he gathered them together in a place in the Hebrew tongue called Armageddon." Okay? And then it goes on. So this is supplemental information. When Jesus says, "Behold, I come as a thief," this is supplemental to what's going on in the chronology and where we are today. We are there today. We're in that chronology. We're in that period leading up to the return of Christ and the battle of Armageddon. Because that battle doesn't ensue until he returns. Yeah. So he gathered them together into a place in the Hebrew tongue called Armageddon. So where this is, the valley, or the Armageddon means the mountains of Megiddo, must be the pinpoint. So around there somewhere in the Mideast, Jesus is going to appear with all of his saints. Okay. Then they are going to counsel together. So this isn't like going to happen overnight. Jesus, we don't need to prepare because, see, our king has real power. He can just speak the word and they can be, fire can fall on them from heaven like it fell on Sodom and Gomorrah and devour them. Okay? We don't need to sharpen our swords and prepare for battle and put on armor and things like that because we will be resurrected saints. We're not going to be worried about that. I think that we're going to be more preparing for maybe the marriage supper of the Lamb. While we are preparing, or while the world is preparing and counseling together to bring their armies across, you know, from the east, from the north, wherever they're coming from. Let's see, someone had this map here somewhere. Oh, where is it at? Oh, this map I was looking at. And I just, you know, so you have the kings from the east, and he posits that likely Asian armies led by China. China has a big army. They seem to be very concerned with the Mideast. So you think when Jesus and all of his saints show up in the Megiddo region there and take it over, do you think that they'll be part of that consort of nations that are counseling together against the Lord and against his anointed? And they have the Antichrist here coming from Western Europe. So that's true. You see Greece, Thessalonica, and all of these on this map here in the Mideast. And over here off the map is, of course, Rome. That's where the Antichrist. And, you know, he'll be pushing because Antichrist is not going to like it. Bergoglio, if Bergoglio's the man at the time, it likely won't be him because he's an old man. He's older than I am. And so it'll probably likely be a different pope sitting in the seat of the Antichrist when Jesus comes, if it happens around, you know, 2050, 2055, around there when we see that the sixth millennium is about to end and the seventh millennium is about to begin. Now, I don't know exactly, as I've said 100 million times, exactly the day or the year or the hour, and I don't claim to, but I've just done a study and I've got as close as I can, and I can say about 2055, unfortunately for old people like me, because it's unlikely that, you know, because of the mortality rates as you get older, that I could live till 2055. I wish I could have found an earlier date. It would have been nicer if I could have found an earlier date. But see, it's not about what I feel, what I would like. It's about what is and the truth as I'm able to uncover it from all of the evidence and scriptural and empirical that I'm able to bring together and come to form a conclusion. So I hope you all understand that it's when I study God's word, I'm not looking for what I want to find. I'm looking for the truth, whether I like it or not. And I have to accept that. Now, I could possibly, people do live into their hundreds, but, you know, I want to live and serve God till I'm 105, if that's possible. You know, so as long as I'm living, I'm going to serve him. And no matter if the internet goes away, like I said, and I can't get on the internet anymore because I can't do a face scan or whatever to verify that, you know, I'm worshiping the beast to be able to participate in the Antichrist monetary system, then I won't be able to do that. Then I'll have to, you know, serve God out here on the ground. And I can do that too. Yeah. I've done it before. I can do it in the future. And wherever God calls me to go and whatever he calls me to do, well, he's going to call me and equip me to go and do whatever he calls me to do because he is God. Yeah, so that doesn't matter. Okay, so we're going back to our scripture here. And so we have this place in the Hebrew tongue called Megiddo. And the world, it takes them time. Now they can move pretty fast. You know, they could probably get it all together in 6 months. to bring the whole world against the alien threat that's going to appear in the region of the mountains of Megiddo in the Mideast there. Yeah. Well, and at the same time, you know, making entreaties of peace at the same time, because I think Jesus is going to, you know, communicate with them, perhaps directly, perhaps through his spokesman, and tell them that he's here, that he's returned, that I'm the king of the earth, I'm Jesus, I'm the one, and they'll know who he is, and they will start shaking in their boots because they're going to lose their power, and they'll call the world, they'll tell the world that it's an alien invasion. And look, this alien even took people off of the earth and and integrated them into his army there, and now they're over there in the Megiddo region, waiting and threatening the whole world. See, because you know how the Antichrist and his shadow government and their media all work in lockstep together to, you know, to relay to the world whatever narrative it is they want them to believe. And that how, look at how delusional people that are, that half of the people in the nation where I live went along with this thing and actually allowed their genetic programming to be altered under the guise, under the false impression that they were in danger of dying from, you know, something that's, you know, like no worse than the regular flu that happens, you know, every year, and people do die from those things. Yeah, it happens all the time. You know, thousands, hundreds of thousands of people die every year from flu simply because either they're old and they're old and they're weak, or they have infirmities that their body can't handle the onslaught. And not to mention that we're all born with a death sentence anyway. You can read about that in the first book of the Bible, where where God told Adam and Eve, our great 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 grandfather and grandmother, that you shall surely die in the day you eat of the fruit. You shall surely die. And they received that death sentence, and they surely did die. And everyone who has been born since then was born with the same death sentence. We all shall surely die. We are mortal, and our mortal flesh will come to an end. So it's inevitable anyway. So that's what happens, and so many people went along with it. So imagine a time where all of the elect are gathered together from the four corners of the earth, as the scripture says, and they're all over there with Jesus, the supposed alien invasion, who has snatched our bodies from the grave, or from wherever it was we were when we were living and working and having our being in him as his true called out elect in the earth, to be changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye if we're living at that time, and to be transported to this place in the Hebrew tongue called Armageddon. And it says, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts. The cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came into remembrance before God. Now, I believe that this is where the supplemental portion begins, and where this is supplemental to the chronology, because the seven vials are over. It is done. And all of these things will find their place in the chronology. Exactly where and when, I don't believe we can pinpoint where all of these things happen. Because we learn later that the ten horns of the beast, Okay, the beast had 10 horns. And so I can show you, like, I can go to Daniel chapter 8, where there are four beasts that rose up out of the sea. And the first three beasts are identified in the text as Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece. And, of course, the one that followed hadn't risen up yet, but it's called a great and terrible beast with iron teeth, and it had 10 horns. Okay? But the 10 horns, so the beast, so it's not chronological where it appears in the Bible, because this beast hadn't risen up yet and hadn't been introduced. Daniel, in his lifetime, knew the other three sea beasts. He was part of the government of the first two. And I guess he didn't know Alexander the Great, the Grecian, that was yet to rise up, but he was familiar with the first two. Okay. So it isn't chronological where it shows up in the scripture, but it's a chronology that covers time. It's just like this. If we go back, if we go to this, there were voices and thunders and lightnings. There was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. What's happening there? Well, I believe that what's happening there is what we read about in Daniel chapter 2, where the stone cut out without hands strikes the image in the feet. I believe it's the same happening. These earthquakes and thunders and lightnings are shaking up the heavens of the political heavens, the political happenings, the governments of the earth are being abolished. And as it says in Daniel chapter 2, that they became like the chaff of the threshing floor and blown away so that no place was found for them anymore. I believe that we can synchronize Revelation 16:18 with that event in Daniel chapter 2. Okay. So if we move ahead, and another thing, we had the beast with the 10 horns in Daniel chapter 8. And if we go to chapter 17 of the Revelation, I guess I'll have to pick it up here somewhere. It carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness. I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. So we have the beast with the 7 heads and the 10 horns again, introduced in Daniel chapter 8. And as we know, it's the Roman Empire. So it's still the same empire. We also learn the beast was diverse in chapter 8. The other beasts, what type of beast they appeared as, it was named, but for the fourth one, it wasn't named. It was just a terrible beast. It was not like all of the other beasts. But we learned in chapter 12 of the Revelation that it was a red dragon. A red dragon. You know, dragons are thought to be mythological creatures, right? Well, no, there were dragons that there are historical accounts of people slaying dragons and such. And I believe that there were that dragon, like the word dinosaur means terrible lizard. So there were lizards that were huge in the earth and maybe not as huge as so-called dinosaurs, which you see, you know, from the skeletons of in museums, from the fossil record. From the pre-flood era, because these lizards, if you know anything about lizards, they grow as long as they live. But what if lizards lived 1,000 years or hundreds of years? Well, they would keep growing all that time. And so that's why the lizards became dinosaurs, terrible, huge dinosaurs or great dragons. And so there were a lot of these dragons that lived, but not to the full height. And you can look up dragons in history and dragon slaying and stuff like that, how people became famous for dragon slaying. Because there were some of these great lizards that were quite perilous. You did not want to run into one, perhaps like running into a bear or something, so that you would need a dragon slayer if you had a dragon in your path. Okay, so we got to that, and we'll pick up talking about this when we get back from these messages. Don't go anywhere. Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth, this book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon. Welcome back. We're talking about the fourth sea beast in Daniel chapter 8. Four beasts rose up out of the sea. Two of them Daniel saw in his day and knew. The third one was Alexander the Great, the Grecian Empire, which rose up. Alexander was the singular horn between his eyes, which was broken off and supplanted by four. So his kingdom was divided when he died between four of his generals. And then out of that rose up a little horn power. Okay. And of course, the little horn represents Rome, the city of Rome, which became an empire. And it took over the whole of Western Europe. Okay. So we know that. So, and the scripture tells us that the fourth beast was terrible, didn't tell us what kind of animal it was. We learned that in Revelation chapter 12, that it is a red dragon that has 10 horns, 7 heads and 10 horns. And in Revelation 17:7, to clarify this, we have supplemental information given about this beast power throughout the scripture in chapter 12, chapter 13, 14, and here in 17 also. The angel said to me, so we have the angel speaking to John. Okay, very important. And where's John? And when is John? Well, he's there about 95 AD, near the end of the first century. So the angel says to John, "Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition." So all of these things are yet future. But see, we've already went through all of the chronologies, the seals, the trumpets, and the vials. So this is supplemental to all of those, what we're learning now. So here's the mind which has wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits. And we're going to move down here to verse 12. "And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast." Okay, so this time stamps it. Okay, the angel's talking to John. It's 95 AD. The time stamp says that at 95 AD, the 10 kings have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast after 95 AD. That's all it says. As of 95 AD, the 10 horns, which were introduced in Daniel chapter 8, okay, before the beast even rose up, it had 10 horns. So those 10 horns were like divisions of the locality that this beast would come to control. They were like potential powers, okay, at 95 AD. They had received no powers yet, and that's the truth, because we know that those 10 divisions weren't enforced until the 5th and 6th century, when the Roman Empire supposedly fell. The old Roman Empire, the imperial pagan empire, is the empire that fell. The papal Roman Empire rose up then, because there was that little horn also introduced in Daniel, which subdued three of the kings, which were closest into locality of Rome. And from there, which was already the center of the world, the center of the empire, the city of Rome, but now it went from imperial Rome to the Vatican. That in Rome. So the power remains at Rome. It just changes the edifice. It's edifice of power. It's like moving, say, perhaps from the Pentagon to the White House or something like that. It becomes now, the crowns move to the horns, but the heads have blasphemy written on them. That's another indication that it's the Vatican that's now in control, because it's a blasphemous religious power, an anti-Christian power. It's a pretend Christian power. That's what the anti-Christian power is. It's no longer imperial Rome running from the imperial state, but now it's running from the religious state, the religious head, the Vatican. So because now the name of blasphemy is on the heads, and the crowns, the power, has moved to the 10 horns. But the little horn, which is the Roman locality, the locality of the city of Rome, being now blasphemous and religious power, anti-Christian, subdues three of those horns immediately in its locality, and then subdues all of the rest in time. So they rule, it says, 1 hour with the beast, and we come to the conclusion that the 1 hour means that they don't rule very much, and it's that the Roman power, the Roman blasphemous religious power, has more control over all of the horns than the opposite. And we also learned that later a tenth of the kingdom falls away. So you see how this isn't chronological. When you're reading the chronology, the supplemental parts can fit into, can give you insight into these characters in their chronologies. Because if we go back to the supplemental chapter 13, we read about, and if we go there, we can see, I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. So he sees the beginning of the Roman Empire at its beginning. And when he goes down to the end here, it covers all the lifetime, the machinations, and the affiliations of this beast while it endures in this entire chapter. You know, so it's kind of a synopsis. And it, because it comes along, there's another beast rises up, comes alongside. It helps the sea beast, the one that rose up out of the sea, the dragon with the seven heads and the 10 horns is who we're talking about. And up to the point where we are getting to see right now, where this beast has total control, the religious power ruling at Rome has total control over the monetary systems of the world, so that at the end, it that no, it causes all both small, rich, free, and bond to receive a mark in their right hand or in foreheads, so that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark. So total control over the monetary system of the world. Okay. So we see that there. And so this is supplemental to the chronologies that we're reading about. Of course, this one, of course, the beast coming up out of the sea goes back before Christ, when Rome rose up its first time coming up out of the sea, the same place the three sea beasts prior to it of Daniel chapter 8 rose up from. And then it goes through what happens in the new era that we're in the New Testament era of the Revelation. Okay, so, because it starts there rising up out of the sea, but it immediately jumps into, and it identifies it as the chapter, the Daniel chapter 8 beast, because it said it was like a leopard, a bear, and a lion, which were the attributes of the three beasts that went before it, which it conquered and assimilated. So it has those attributes of the ones that it assimilated before, definitely identifying it as the same beast with the seven heads and the ten horns of Daniel chapter 8. Okay, so getting back to the Valley of Megiddo and the Battle of Armageddon and what's coming then. The woman which thou sawest is that great city. Let's see. Gathered into a place called Armageddon. I had another scripture verse here. Okay. The marriage supper of the Lamb. When is this going to happen? Will that be before the Battle of Armageddon or after it? I don't know. I kind of wonder, because I believe that there may be a time. If we're gathered together, are we going to go straight into battle? You know, when Christ returns and we're resurrected with him, are we just going to go into battle and immediately put down all the, or how is this going to play out? I don't know, because all of this is supplemental to the chronologies. So we don't get a clear picture of where and when everything fits in until it's already happened. And many of these things haven't happened. For the marriage supper of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. Now, the dispensationalists say they're going to be raptured out for 7 years. And during that 7 years, that's when the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to take place, I guess, in heaven. Okay? But this is only speculation at best, because there's nothing to lay it out. It could be, but I, like I said, I don't see anything that supports that. So it is total speculation. So I could speculate that the marriage of supper of the Lamb is going to happen on the earth, and perhaps during an interim, because how long will Jesus, because I know God is patient. And if the world wants to make entreaties for peace while they, or feign peace while they prepare to battle the alien invasion, what are we going to be doing over here in the Megiddo region? What is the bride and the lamb going to be doing in the interim if it doesn't happen immediately? And I don't know why it would happen immediately. There's no reason why it happened immediately. What I know is that and I'm going to say this in a good way, is if there is a drama king, God is the drama king, you know? It's because if you say drama queen, it's supposed to be a bad thing. But this drama of prophecy has played out throughout history. And to think that this is all going to happen in the blink of an eye, that somehow we're going to be resurrected and meet Jesus in the air and return to him to this region where this battle is going to take place. What's going to happen is, like, the armies of the world are good. They could instantly be there. I'm going to say it may take them months, maybe even years to come to the point because they are mortals and they can only move as fast as man can move. And they got to move a lot of tanks and troops and maybe even do some training to get people ready to fight this alien invasion. So what are we going to be doing? We think we're going to be sitting over there in the Megiddo region with Jesus shaking in our boots because the world is coming for us? You know, I laugh at that. So we should laugh at that. That's ridiculous. So think about what will we be doing? Will we be rejoicing? Will we be having a family reunion? And why shouldn't we take years to do that? And the marriage supper of the Lamb, we should have that. It should be here on earth. And it's fitting that it should be. I can't find anything in the scripture to make me believe that the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to take place anywhere else. Because whatever we need, the God who created all things is certainly going to be able to provide in that region where we land with Jesus, our Savior, our King. And so it seems to me that maybe while the world is in derision and worried about what they're going to do to put down the alien invasion and all of the people who've been body snatched by Jesus, us, and speaking of us, to be part of his army of believers, the elect. And so while they're getting all their guns together and moving all their troops all around the world, and the kings from the east are marching toward the Mideast, you know, this can take as long as God wants it to take. It doesn't have to be instantly, because a lot of people just think Jesus is going to show up, bam, and then we're going, you know, the amillennialists, they believe that, bam, then we're going to, it's going to all be over in the blink of an eye, and we're going to be in the eternal state forever. Yeah. Regardless, the millennial reign of Christ that is expressed throughout the scripture and given a time frame in Revelation chapter 20. Regardless of that, they believe that it's all going to happen instantly and God's just going to destroy all the wicked with fire and the earth is going to be done with. And we don't need a seventh millennium. But, you know, I think they're just played wrong, you know, because they can't show me anywhere in the scripture. It's like the pre-trib rapture. It's not in the book. You know, there's no pre-trib rapture in the book, and there's no amillennial reign of whatever. It's not, if it's amillennial, it just isn't. They say, oh, forget chapter 20. They say, oh, some of them say that, oh, chapter 20 is just a recapitulation of chapter 19. Yeah. That's what they're saying. A lot of them say now that's how they explain away chapter 20. And that the millennium is not to be taken literally. It's just symbolic. So, but that's their problem. It's not mine. But like I said, all of the supplemental parts, you know, we know what's going to happen. We just don't know where everything fits in. But when it happens, then we'll know where it fits in completely. And we learned that because we can look back on the supplemental parts of the Revelation and see how they fit into the chronologies that given and why we were given those supplemental parts, so we can identify the characters, the circumstance, and we know that God's word is true. But see, a lot of people think that, well, it should be God should just give us everything in chronological and order and explain everything as he goes along, but he didn't do that. He did it his way, for his purpose, for his reasoning, and we just have to accept that the supplemental parts are not chronological, okay? They are to a degree, but they're not chronological in order with the chronologies of the three sevens, you know, the seals, the trumpets, and the vials. And we can only find out after these things happen, exactly where everything fits into the chronologies. We can kind of see around where they fit in the chronology because some things haven't happened yet and some things have to happen at the end because they couldn't have happened in the first century or the second or third century or any time in between then and now because they fit in chronologically. But then when you get to exact timing and exactly where everything fits, then some things we just have to wait for. That's all. That's all I have to say about that. So as far as the marriage supper of the Lamb, since there is no rapture, I know that it's not going to take place in heaven in 7 years in the interim between a secret rapture and when Jesus really does return. like the scripture says he's going to return because he doesn't say anything about a secret pre-trib rapture. So I know that's wrong. Yeah. So I believe that the marriage supper of the Lamb will be on the earth, whether it'll be before or after Armageddon. I have a sneaking suspicion that it may be before the Battle of Armageddon because it's not going to be a battle for us. They're going to battle. And, we don't need to prepare for war. We don't need to sharpen our swords. We don't need to get guns. Totally unnecessary because Jesus has supernatural power. The Antichrist does not, never did, never will. All of his power, all of his miracles are pretend miracles. He has no supernatural power whatsoever. Neither does Satan. The scripture says he's a worm, okay? And people walk by and go, that's the man? That's what caused all this trouble? Yeah. He has no supernatural power. His power is deception. Yeah, that's it. That's all of his power. Deception. Pretend miracles. Pretend supernatural power. Not really, you know. Transubstantiation, not real. It's only pretend. Jesus is not on the cross being crucified again and entering a wafer, you know. You can only believe that, but it's not real, and it never will be real. Okay? It's one of their favorite miracles they do every week and get people to believe that somehow that sacrifice, that bloodless sacrifice, is going to save them from their sins. That's a deception. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So we thank God that Jesus paid the price for us by shedding his blood. And it's only by his blood, his atonement, that we are saved. Because he loved us first, we love and serve him and desire to walk in his kingdom and be obedient sons and daughters to the King of the universe because he loved us first. That's all we got. We have nothing else. We have no power in ourselves. We have no merit that we can attribute our salvation to. Nothing. It's by faith in him alone. That's it. That's the gospel message. And thank God, because we have all sinned, and the wages of sin is death, and we can never eradicate our past sin. It's already been done. We can't go back in history and undo it. So without him, we have nothing. We were without hope in the world. So, what can I say? Know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Believe the gospel and be saved. Yeah. That's like I said, that's all we got. We have nothing else. We are totally bankrupt. And unless we, as he said, blessed are those that are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those, see, we're poor in spirit because we recognize our spiritual bankruptcy. We realize, we see that we are bankrupt, that we have nothing to offer God, that we are totally dependent upon him and the work that he did by his son in shedding his blood for our sins. Praise God. Praise God. The wisdom in his dad is beyond unbelievers. They cannot understand it. They cannot see it. But thank God if you can see that, your eyes are open and his blood can be applied to your account so that when you visit the grave, death will have no hold on you because death will see the blood of Jesus on you and have no power over you, and you will rise from the dead on the last day or be changed if you're still here when Jesus returns. So if you're young, a lot younger than I am, you will likely, if you live long enough, see him when he returns. Well, that's all I have for today. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel the narrow way that leads to life. I love you all. See you next time.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.